Drive with me, Beth Tracy. And look, we are delving into the wonders of the galaxy and the solar system right now on the show. Coming up, we are going to be talking about this very much such an amazing topic with Dr. Christina Martinez-Lombia. Christina studies astronomy and astrophysics and was the lead author of a study that looks at intragroup light that occurs between distant galaxies. And Christina is currently working as a postdoctoral research associate at the University of New South Wales. And I've got her on the line right now. Christina, have I got you?
Hi. Yeah.
Perfect. Here, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We are so excited to delve and, you know, go to the stars with you today. Now, first of all, and I know this potentially might be a long, you know, require a long answer, but could you kind of tell us what an intragroup light is and what it specifically refers to and why astronomers find it so interesting to look at and observe?
Yeah, of course I can give you a quick explanation of what it is. So the intragroup light is basically a very faint light structure, at least 50 times darker than the darkest night sky that you can find on Earth. So it is very faint, so very, very hard to detect. It is even hard to detect with the largest telescopes on Earth. What we have done is that we have not only been able to detect it, but also to study the stars that populate this structure. And the important thing of the intragroup light, why it's important to study, is that it has information of all the interaction history that a group of galaxies has undergone, because this intragroup light is composed by stars that back in the past belonged to a galaxy, but due to interactions between galaxies galaxies are built up due to interaction, basically. These stars were stripped out from their host galaxy and now are floating freely in the intergalactic medium, and that is what we call the intragroup light. So it's kind of a fossil record of all the interactions that a group of galaxies has suffered. Wow. So studying their stellar population, we can trace back, going back on time somehow.
Back in time and kind of like historically capturing what's happened in space. I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you just mentioned as well, and I don't know if you already addressed this in your answer. I might have not heard you, but obviously the brightest parts of the intragroup light are, as you said, like 50 times fainter than the darkest night sky on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's very obviously extremely hard to detect, even with the largest telescopes on Earth or in space. If you're not able to view this through a telescope, what methods do you use to look at something like this and study it?
You mean which kind of techniques do you use to
look at it?
So, of course, first we need large telescopes or long time seeing telescopes, and usually both. And once we have the images, we are working on with images, we need a set of custom-made, usually, techniques to basically get rid of every light that it is not our intragroup light. And that means basically everything. We have to model the galaxy that we have within our group and remove the light from them in order to avoid contamination. Also, stars that we have in our field of view, in our piece of sky that we are taking the image, because stars from our own galaxy that are close by. Also, other background and foreground galaxies. Then there are many residual or reflections, light reflections in the optical path due to the telescope, the instrument, the atmosphere. We have to get rid of everything, basically, to only have our faint intragroup light, and that's actually the hardest part of the job.
Yeah, I can imagine having to individually erase all of the surrounding stars and all of the other stuff that would be in your in the image in front of you. That would be so difficult and time consuming. You mentioned in a UNSW article that, you know, individual stars at some point was stripped from their galaxies, and that's why stars would be in the section between distant galaxies. How does a star actually get stripped away from their galaxy to begin with?
So as I said before, interactions and mergers between galaxies are basically how the galaxies are formed or how they evolve. So it's something very common that happens between galaxies. So basically, and everything is due to the gravitational forces, right? So anything that has matter has a gravitational field or gravitational potential around. So galaxies, of course, have a big, huge gravitational field around them. So once they are moving around, and if two galaxies come close enough to be within their gravitational field, they come closer and they interact. This interaction can be due to a full merger, that they basically fall into a single new galaxy, or they can just pass by. So to be able to strip, I mean, these stars that are stripped from the outer parts of galaxies are basically due to those pass-by events, that two galaxies pass close by. So the easier stars to get stripped out from the galaxies are obviously the stars that are in the outer parts. So some of these stars end up in the other galaxy of the event, of the interaction event, and some of the stars end up in this intergalactic medium, in this intergroup light, in the case of groups of galaxies.
Okay, I understand now. I'm with you. Sorry, my astronomy is not very good.
No worries. And that's not, probably not a common concept.
So obviously you've been conducting this study for a while now. What stood out for you most? What's one of the most, I suppose, impressive findings that you found, or at least something that struck you that you weren't expecting to find?
It was really cool to find the substructures within the intragroup light, that we found kind of a tail within the intragroup light that it is probably telling us, or a remnant of an interaction of a member of the group with the central part of the group. That was so cool, because in principle we were just aiming to measure the general or the main component of the intragroup light, and then we it was there all the time, but kind of we put the attention there after some time after starting the project. So it was nice to have this extra.
Brilliant. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Cristina Martinez-Lombia. It's been such a pleasure to have you on. And where do you see the research going next?
Well, this was actually a pilot study one group, because what we have been doing was basically to develop all the techniques for having reliable measurements and a good analysis and detailed analysis of this structure of the intragroup light. So now we aim to, now that we have all the bases and all the techniques, go to a large-ish sample of groups of galaxies to have some statistics and perform again the same study but with other targets, and see if we have any kind of trend on how this intergroup has been formed, if a trend or correlations with kind of groups, kind of galaxies, systems. So
fantastic.
And and everything is to be prepared for all the upcoming large all sky surveys, like the SST. Everything to be prepared for that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I wish you the very best with the rest of your research.
And thank you.
Congratulations, and I hope you find exactly what you're looking for, and probably more than, which I'm assuming the stars will always have secrets, so you'll find them for sure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For having me.
Of course. Bye. That was Dr. Cristina Martinez-Lombia talking with us about her study that she leads. She's, of course, from University of New South Wales, and they've been looking at intragroup light that occurs between distant galaxies. As she said, this was just a pilot study, so now they'll be able to do a longer form study and more intense. So hopefully we'll be hearing a lot of great news coming from that very soon. We're going to go to a track now. This one is from Lipsticism. This is She's Dancing.